Department of Health and Human Services. Well, they're expected to issue a final rule tomorrow detailing broader authorities to combat waste, fraud, abuse in the federal medical insurance programs. The 461-page rule comes on the heels of Department of Health and Human Services sending its annual report to Congress. HHS says it returned more than $4 billion to the government, prosecuted 726 defendants. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller says this shows the accomplishments of an interagency task force and how the rule will improve the recovery process.
Well, actually, $4 billion is the most ever recovered by HHS and the Justice Department. It also set records in several other categories across the board. Now, let me take you back for a second. Congress first asked HHS and Justice to work together in 1997, and over the past 13 years, the amount of money and people convicted of fraud has grown. In 2009, President Obama called on HHS and Justice to form what they call a strike force, or a task force, to go after these fraudsters. Thomas Perelli is the Justice Department's Associate Attorney General. He describes just what the impact of the strike force has been.
A total of approximately $2.86 billion was deposited to the Medicare Trust Fund alone, an increase of more than $350 million over the prior year's total. We won or negotiated $2.5 billion in health care fraud judgments and settlements. That's the largest annual figure in history and a leap of more than 50% in just 1 year from fiscal year 2009. We at DOJ opened more than 2,000 criminal and civil health care fraud investigations. That's more than 1,100 new criminal investigations and 950 new civil investigations. All three are the highest numbers ever for health care fraud investigations initiated in a single year. And our prosecutors in the Justice Department's Criminal Division and our U.S. Attorney's offices have been working incredibly hard as well. We reached an all-time high in the number of health care fraud defendants charged, more than 930 defendants. That's a 16% increase over the prior fiscal year. And in fiscal year 2010, we secured more than 700 criminal convictions for health care fraud.
Kevin Perkins, the FBI's Assistant Director for Criminal Investigations Division, says these investigations and prosecutions included everyone from corporate executives to hospital systems to doctors and even organized crime. In fact, he says organized crime is one of the most egregious offenders working through medical clinics, medical equipment providers, and other businesses.
Wow. So I guess tomorrow there will be a Federal Register notice that will detail some of the HHS rules, and it mostly focuses, what, on auditing and recovery processes, right?
Exactly. It really gives HHS a bunch of new tools to go after these fraudsters. The final rule actually is part of the it implements the provisions in the Affordable Health Care Act that deal with this types of issues. Donald Berwick is the administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. He says the rule will help CMS, FBI, and others move from pay and chasing fraudsters to a more proactive fraud prevention.
New authority put in place through this rule allows us to suspend payments to providers and suppliers based on credible allegations of fraud in Medicare and Medicaid. It allows us to establish, when necessary, and with the Secretary's guidance, a temporary moratorium on Medicare and Medicaid and CHIP enrollment by high-risk providers and suppliers to help prevent or fight fraud and waste and abuse. It allows us to target provider enrollment and screening procedures so that we can better ensure that fraudulent providers aren't gaming the system, meaning that only qualified healthcare providers and suppliers are allowed to enroll in and to bill Medicare, Medicaid, and CHIP. It allows us to implement requirements for states to terminate providers from their Medicaid and CHIP operations when they're terminated by Medicare or by another state Medicaid program or CHIP program for cause. In reverse, with the same impact, it allows us to terminate egregious providers from Medicare when they're terminated by a state Medicaid program.
Now, HHS, its Inspector General, and Justice define the rule of what would be credible allegations and what that means when it comes to suspending payments. Because how do you decide what's credible, what's not? Yeah. And if you're going to suspend someone on allegations, they got to be real firm about what that actually means. Peter Budetti is the CMS Deputy Administrator. He says they used a variety of information to develop this criteria.
It was based upon a series of experiences that law enforcement's had. It was based upon analysis of our own information inside of CMS, also based upon a series of reports from the Office of Inspector General and from the Government Accountability Office. Level of risk is assigned by category, not by individual, but then later on, individuals can be moved if certain kinds of developments occur with respect to them.
Now, let me just be clear about this. One thing to keep in mind is this is fraud or abuse. This does not include payment errors or improper payments more broadly or, you know, more specifically.
Right.
But it does account for a chunk of the Medicare and Medicaid improper payments. So it's not all improper payments. It's just a piece of it. Now, overall, Medicare and Medicaid programs paid out more than $71 billion in 2010 improperly, according to the latest OMB statistics.